W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. We began at 10:08 because of a lack of respect for this show. So we're used to it. So this one will be pretty quick. I'll try to stay on time as much as I can. Plenty to get to. We've got an Astros team who is starting to play pretty well. They're not hitting great, and that'll just have to be something that plays out over the course of the year. But that's now another win at home. They beat the Blue Jays last night. That's, what, 3 out of 4 now on this homestand? So that's pretty good. And Hunter Brown's great. Hunter Brown's one of them ones, at least early in the year. We're at, what, 24 consecutive scoreless innings for Hunter Brown? Is that what I saw? So he's a guy who's living up to the belief that people had in him before the year started. It was supposed to be him and Fromber as the 1-2, and with your ace and Fromber, and then Hunter Brown being your solid number 2. And this has been going on for more than just the early start of the year. If you date back to like May of last year, he's got an ERA just over 2 through just over 157 innings pitched, opponent's batting average of 209. So he's been getting after it for a while. Had 9 Ks last night, 24 consecutive scoreless innings. He's everything you thought you were going to get from him, and maybe more. So you got to credit Hunter Brown for taking a step. I at one point was calling him Cosplay Verlander. That nickname got retired last year because of how well he did after he found that sinker. And that has continued over nearly 30 starts, where he's been the man for the Astros for a while now. It's a long way off, but it's a perfect time to ascend to being a number one with the likelihood of Fromber not being around next year. And, hey, Fromber's had an up-and-down year so far, and that's part of the Fromber experience. Sometimes he's great, and other times you're like, man, a walk here or hitting a guy turns what should be a pretty simple inning into a big one. And now he's given up a crooked number, and then Fromber will bounce back within the same game, but maybe you've given up 3 and changed the complexion of the game. So good time for Hunter Brown to elevate himself to a number one type talent on that staff. And he's done that so far. So credit to him. DeCenzo had a nice night last night, a guy who's had limited time so far this year. And of course, you had Altuve with an awful base running error. That happened very early in the game. If you missed it, it was pretty much a lazy fly ball from Yordan, and Altuve gets doubled up pretty easily. And he had a look on his face like, oh, no, I've done it again. It's part of the experience overall with him. But a night that went really well for them, and you'll take it. So playing well, I think you have a solidified, I don't want to say ace, but number one in Brown, even though he's number 2 in the rotation. Then what do you get from the likes of Renell Blanco? You can't see me because I'm shrugging.
Oh, okay.
People who aren't watching, I'm shrugging. I don't know what I'm getting from Renell Blanco. I hope for the best, but that has not been the case so far this year. We have not gotten his best.
Yeah. His best is no hitter, right?
Yes.
No hitter against the Blue Jays, I think, if I remember that correctly.
That's their first one of the year, I think, because they got swept by the Yankees to start the year last year.
I think so. Could be wrong.
I think I'm right. I think that's what happened. They got off. They're up 5-0, and then the game got away from the bullpen late. I think that's – or maybe 4-0. Either way, they lost the first game, and I don't think they won a game in that series. And then Blanco came in on that Monday and won them their first game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a good pitcher last year. He has not been a good pitcher this year, but he'll go again against the great Chris Bassitt.
Oh, wow.
Who has been great this year. You think I'm kidding. No, he's been great.
I was like, the great Chris Bassitt.
He's been great through the first part of this year. He's got an ERA under 1. 31 Ks, 5 walks in 23 in the third inning. He's been good this year.
That's Hunter Brown numbers.
Yeah. I know this show, there's always a tint of sarcasm when we say things, particularly for a player we've never heard of. But Chris Bassett's been really good. It just so happens he's pitching today against a guy who hasn't been good in Ronel Blanco. But you win the game 7-1 last night. You'll take it. And credit to DeCenzo for a great slide, too. That was maybe the moment of the game
where
he looked dead to rights, and he got that slide off and wound up safe. That's got to be pretty embarrassing for the catcher, right? For that to get pulled on you. You think you're in a good spot, throws on time, and you get beat by that slide. He got beat by the slide.
I mean. No, he 100% got beat by the slide. And, yeah, that is – I don't really know what you do to avoid – I guess you go for, like, the leg.
Possibly.
Because you can't – the way he was sliding, you can't really, like, do that with your leg. But, just moving your arm up – or I guess having your arm up and then waiting until you pass him to lower it. That was a slick move by old Zachy DeCenzo.
Zachy, huh?
Yeah.
We had I respond to that because as this show was beginning, or at least the morning show was ending, John walks by and goes, "Hey, Mapesy, how do we feel about being called Mapesy?" You had a pretty funny thing saying, "It sounds like I'm just a hockey player."
It is very hockey player. That is how they nickname each other by their either first or last name, but mostly last
name.
And
if you can add a Y and make it smooth, then that's how they pick whether it be first or last name.
Yep.
Like Gretzky makes it tough. He's already ski. He's already a ski.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Waynesy?
I think they call him is it Wayno?
I don't know if it's Wayno. Maybe Waynesy if we're... I don't know what Wayne Gretzky's nickname beyond the one he was tagged with, the great one, but I don't know what his teammates called him.
Yeah,
he's too old for the goat stuff. I don't think he got called goat, goat. You think
when he was coming up with
Oilers? You think Mark Messier called him young goat?
Probably not.
On
Mark Messier's podcast that he was doing during the season.
Sure. When he had to put it aside to go win a title, focus on the Oilers winning a title. I don't think so because. That team was very good for a long time. And then they traded old Waynesy to the Kings to try to jump off hockey in the 90s in Southern California. Led to an expansion team. That's why the Ducks are here, kind of. Plus, the 3 movies that they made as well. So beyond our diversion into hockey nicknames and the history of hockey in Southern California, Hunter Brown was great. I was thinking of a nickname, but I ain't got one. His
Brownie?
Name doesn't. I don't like Brownie. That's why I didn't use it.
I feel comfortable calling Hunter Brown Brownie.
Understood, but I don't like Brownie, so I didn't want to use it. But yes, Brownie, whatever his nickname is, was great. The Astros get the win. They have to go against a good pitcher, at least a 36-year-old Chris Bassitt who's having a great start to his year, and see if Ronel Blanco can match him or at least keep his team in it as the Astros try to put together two game winning streaks over the course of 5 days. Look at them. After not being able to do it, now they got a shot to do it twice in a matter of like 5 days.
That'd be insane if they did that. It'd be
insane. Is that the word we're using for this? For this very, very mundane accomplishment to win 2 games in a row with the loss in between.
It'd be for this year's team.
So far, yes, but they
be the greatest accomplishment by this year's
getting
team.
Over 500 would be pretty cool too. They haven't been over 500, I think, since they got swept by the Giants. So if they can get over 500, that'd be cool, too. They got a chance to do that tonight with Ronel Blanco. I mean, the odds say that's not happening with Ronel Blanco, but you never know. One night. It's his
baseball,
one,
you know?
It's his one shot.
One opportunity.
One opportunity to get the team over 500. He's got as good a chance as any to get it done. So, but
oh, no, there's vomit on his jersey already.
Oh, no. It's,
and his mom, oh, his mom cooks spaghetti.
It's not even, nah, it's not his mom. It's the team chef this time around, which is why he threw up. He's used to his mom's spaghetti. Okay. Thank you, Sean, for the 8 Mile reference. Always appreciate
anytime.
8 Mile reference. Going by what you did yesterday with the Jaylen Brown stuff, it could very well be any time. You could drop it any time. We do have a new quote. I thought Jaylen Brown's quote was the quote of the playoffs so far when he talked about, nah, I'm not repeating it just because it might set Sean off again. But Nico Harrison's at it. His team's not in the playoffs. They're in the play-in. But he said something that has infuriated people, shocked them. There's a lot of disbelief. And, of course, it's still about the Luka trade. He hasn't had a good run since that trade, and it just gets worse and worse from finding out that he had someone who was not accredited to be a therapist, a physical therapist. He kept that guy around. So now people can point to, man, no wonder we got hurt so much. Our guys who were supposed to help him weren't really put in a position because they didn't get the degrees they needed. They didn't get the accreditations they needed. So they didn't have the proper people around the Mavericks, and that's why they suffered injuries. Perfect for Anthony Davis. Let's have a medical staff who doesn't have all the proper certifications to try to keep Anthony Davis healthy. So a lot falling on Nico Harrison. We'll hear a quote from him a little bit later. That's going to probably live in infamy and maybe put on his tombstone as far as Mavericks GM is concerned. Sure, he'll probably find a job someplace else. You just got to know someone who likes you. Maybe can work for Rob Pelinka. Because if the Lakers, this season aside, whatever happens this season, but if the Lakers go on to sustained success, this is like, I think it's worse than Kevin McHale trading KG to the Celtics as far as moving the Celtics from a team no one really cared about and also ran, a team who would get beat by the Nets with Paul Pierce, to a team who went on to win, oh, by the way, just one title, despite how that is sold in East Coast media. Just the one title, but became a force in the league for several years because of a trade. This one is going to be different because it's happening for the Lakers. If Luka becomes the Lakers' bell cow for the next decade and they're in the title chase for all those years, I would rank Nico ahead of Kevin McHale because I get why Kevin McHale did it. He's just helping out his old franchise. Nico, why? Because you and Rob are friends? Thanks for changing the course of the NBA because you have a buddy-buddy thing with Rob Pelinka. It's appreciated. I felt like the Lakers could have been done whenever LeBron decides to go. Instead, they're going to be propped up as long as Luka wants to stay there for however long he's a great player. We all can hope that Nico's right, though, that Luka's fat, doesn't care enough about staying in shape, and he'll be done by like 29. That's still several years away. So we'll hear from Nico Harrison at some point. It's good night for basketball in the NBA. It's a good night for people who like the NBA. Competitive games. Pistons bounce back, and also set of the Clippers. So you had dramatic games throughout the night, and it all started in the early afternoon with Nico Harrison. So we'll get to that. We'll continue to talk Astros. We'll talk some Sextons, too, because we got those guys in front of a microphone, Will Anderson, CJ Stroud, among others, along with D'Amico Ryans. They were available. They're back in the building. And as D'Amico Ryans gets ready for the draft, he told us what the strategy will be. So we'll hear from him when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We've heard from Nick Caserio leading up to the draft. D'Amico Ryans spoke yesterday. And with the free agency period of the offseason pretty much done, I mean, there are street free agents out there that you could sign, but it's a lot of focus on the draft right now. the thought is the Texans are going to take an offensive lineman. We had an offensive lineman on this morning with John Lance, Donovan Jackson, the guard, versatile guard who can play tackle from Ohio State, the national champions. He's a local kid, or a local young man, I guess is maybe a proper way of saying it. And John Lance are talking about the possibility of him becoming a Texan because we know they need offensive line help. Well, maybe it's just draft talk and they won't do anything but take an offensive lineman at 25. But here's DeMeco Ryans on what the plan is for the team in the first round.
That's always the big talk in the draft, like need best available. For us, we're going to take the best guy on the board. We won't just pass up a top player on our board just because we have a need at a certain position. It's okay to enhance and have a really strong position group if the draft falls that way. So you go in, there's no handcuffs on, hey, we have to draft this certain position and we're stuck at only looking at this position. No, we have a broad view of how we want to enhance our team, and it's not just looking at it, in a tight lens of it's only one way. Like, we open, like, if it's a position there, if it's a player that can really change our team, like, we're going to take that guy. So that's where we talk about not truly drafting for need. We want to take the best players on our board.
It's a great approach, but the question is, have they put themselves in a position where that's a logical way to do things? Are they in a spot with the signings with the offensive line to ignore what appears to still remain a need there to go draft who they think can be, as he said, someone who can change their team? If we're just going by what these guys did last year at their respective spots and teams, then no. They have not done enough to just go pick the best player available. But maybe there's some institutional belief that Cole Popovich and Nick Caley can get the Cam Robinsons of the world and the Trent Browns if he's on the roster, and also Ed Ingram and the guys who are returning in a spot to create a unit that's viable for their quarterback to succeed. I jokingly call they're going to lean on the power friendship to get that done, because the talent on its face suggests they are deficient there. But it's a nice way to enter the draft, not forecasting, not tipping your needs or your pick and saying, look, guys, I know what you think. Hey, for the guys picking around us, I know what you think we're going to do, but we can pick anyone. We can pick anyone. Yeah. Don't worry.
Don't let Jackson Dart fall to us. We'll do it.
Hey, don't test us. So you better pick a quarterback at 24 or trade up and get him, because you never know what we'll do. CJ didn't have a great year last year.
Yeah,
you never know.
He might not be there.
Nick Caley, CJ might not be his guy. You never know.
I would like for one coach or GM right before the draft to get up and be like, we will not take the best player available.
We are screwed at guard.
Yeah, we have listen to me. Listen to me. We have to take a guard.
Look, guys.
Now, look at me in my eye, DJ Bienemy.
Understood. Guys, I get it. This is unconventional, but we are completely screwed if we don't take a guard. So we're going to take a guard, and you know what? Could be they've got guard on the board. He's a Texan. Could be overdrafting him by a round and a half.
There could be 24 guards that go in front of him.
For some reason, there's a historic run on guards. We better take one at 25. We'll take a projected fourth-round pick at guard because we have to take one. Nah, what DeMeco said is predictable. We're not going to tell you what we're going to do. But unless it's a receiver, I can't really see them not taking an offensive lineman at that spot. Because can a guy at 25 change your team? That means someone slipped that you thought was going to be a top 10 pick for whatever reason. Maybe Abdul Carter has a bong video. But yet you already have two defensive ends, so why would you take him? Maybe, what's the linebacker's name from Alabama? It's Jihad.
Jihad Campbell?
Maybe Jihad.
Mr. Campbell?
Yeah, Jihad. I don't think Jihad is his name. No. Jihad Campbell. Maybe he slips for whatever reason. I can see that as a possibility, but he's not. I don't think he's likely to slip that far. But it feels like offensive lineman is a play. But I respect the notion that you can't put us in a box with who we're going to pick.
Other than receiver and offensive line, what do you think the most likely position is?
So they strengthened their safety position. Of course, Jalen Petrie's coming back, and then they gave him money. Not there. Could you take an outside? If you were insistent that you needed a third corner, I can see that because you don't really have a third corner right now.
Just paid Petrie.
But to be, I guess, your slot.
This is your nickel.
Your nickel. No. I saw Devontae Adams against that nickel. No. If you think you'd rather move Kalon Bullock to the slot and get an outside corner to strengthen that unit, I can see that there. But other than that, I don't really see anything but offline. Kalon Bullock. I don't see anything beyond receiver O-line unless some unmistakable pick slides there and they're forced to take him. I don't know who that would be in that situation.
What if, like, Loveland, the tight end from Colson Michigan? Loveland?
You could go take Arroyo in the second or something. I mean, you don't need to take Colson Loveland in the first round.
Yeah.
You're gonna take him. And you still have Schultz for whatever that means, considering how his year ended last year. No, I don't think I'm taking a first-round tight end. I think you can go get one if you were desperate for one in the second that you might like. That could certainly be my bias because I think Arroyo came on strong last year and can be a big-time vertical threat for you. And but that's not a bad thought because they are deficient there.
Yeah, that's just like the other kind of big blinking light of like, I don't know about first round, probably not in the first round, but they probably should walk away from this draft with another guy at this position. It's like offensive line, receiver, tight end in my mind.
I would agree. They need weapons. They're devoid of weapons right now, which is crazy considering where it's been a year, certainly, but crazy considering where we were, where we were talking about, let's give this offense a name because they're going to be so dynamic.
They had five number ones.
It needs a name. We must give the Slowick Stroud offense a name, and now the O-line coach is gone, the OC is gone, and CJ Stroud's talking about all the freedom he's going to have with his new OC. So we'll play some sound from CJ in a little bit. Jerry, I see you. You want to talk about D'Amico Ryans? Hang on. We got a break here. Anyone else want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. But before we get to break, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's a place you go to if you've got an issue, with your plumbing. You don't know what to do. You just know there's a problem, whether it be dirty water or a leak someplace. All you know is there's a problem and you need it fixed. And the people that will fix it are the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You go to the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, and check out all the services they provide. They have a nice drop-down menu where you can see what they'll do for you, whether it be something with your water heater or maybe you need a repipe. Maybe it's a simple leak that you don't know how to fix. They will take care of it for you. And another great thing about them is they have that free price quote. What that means is, since you don't know what it is, you don't want to get charged for someone assessing what the problem is. You can call them at 281-488-6238, and they'll help you out, get you that free quote. And then you can make a decision that's informed and be able to choose the perfect thing for you. So from water filters to new construction, to remodels, to reroutes, it's all there for you. Thanks to the people at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Thank you for holding, Jerry. Appreciate it. We'll get to Jerry right now. Anyone else? You can call in right after, 713-780-3776. Jerry wants to talk about D'Amico Ryans. What's up?
Hey, there's Gary with a G.
Okay, Green. Gary. Okay.
Okay. Hey, yeah, no problem. I think it's just not smoke and mirrors. I think he set himself up for if we don't get the best offensive lineman, the need, that there is another need. The need is best player. So I think he's saying it both ways, and we're covered. But I think if you can't get the offensive lineman, the number one need, I think, outside of a wideout, would be interior defensive presence. Everything's stuffing the quarterback. You got the defensive ends, the linebackers, and what have you. So not another pass rusher from the edge, but something like the Philadelphia Eagles did that caused havoc completely up the middle on every snap with that Georgia defense. I think that helps the cornerbacks. That helps the linebacker. That helps everybody, putting that pressure right up the gut.
Yeah, it's not a bad thought. They don't have a top-level inside presence. Like, they brought back Sheldon Rankins. Tim Settle's there. Mario Edwards. Foley Fatakasi is out right now as far as not on the team. They signed EJ Speed to be a backup linebacker. I wouldn't be against it if you could find someone who could be a top-line interior presence. They haven't had one in a while now. They've made it work with their defensive ends and the aggressiveness with how they play. But having a pure guy who can be a pass rusher, or maybe you just pick a big-time run stuffer, one of those two types would work. So I don't disagree, Gary. If we're looking for spots where they need some help, finding someone who can be a force in the middle. And, of course, like, you know, the commentary this morning was about how the Eagles and Texans are going to be aggressive with trades. Why not mimic what the Eagles have done with their front? I mean, Ty Roseman's like, you go to Georgia, you got a shot to make this team. And I certainly will draft you. So Georgia doesn't have I don't think they have a first-round type as far as in the interior. So maybe he can't completely duplicate what Georgia normally does when it comes to drafting interior linemen. But as far as that defense is concerned, linebacker I would point to as not having a real impact player there despite the aggression that Azeez Ashere plays with. And Christian Harris, who was coming off a very productive back half of 2023, was injured throughout 2024, and then when he came back, wasn't the same dude. So you might find something there, and that's why Jahad Campbell popped in my head. I just don't think he'll get there as far as the Texans' choices are concerned.
If they get Jahad Campbell, then we're having this conversation about the Eagles and Georgia with the Texans and Alabama.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it'd be Campbell. It'd be Christian Harris. It'd be Henry Totoa, Will Anderson.
And then you'll let Kamari Lassiter be around. Hey, we don't mind bringing in a Georgia guy, too.
If anything, they're just kind of like the all-SEC defense.
Yeah, and they brought in the West
Coast. With a little bit of Bullock and
a West Coast kid. Yeah, you'll do that, too. A ball-hawking West Coast kid. So, yeah.
Because, Gardner Johnson to Florida.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's a lot of that. Yeah. I mean, where did Danielle Hunter
LSU.
Play? Yeah, there it is. We know that they like big name, big time,
Walter
big school
Nolan,
names.
Get ready.
Yeah.
You're ready to learn Texas.
There it is. You found them. They love a guy who's played in big time environments at big time football programs. We'll see if that continues. Gray Zabel is one of the names that has popped up. He is not from a big school. He's from a small school. So it feels like you want to wipe them off the board, but maybe they zag in this case if they find him to be the best available player who happens to be an offensive lineman.
Hey, look at that.
Look at that.
It is weird how best available really lines up with
what we need.
Biggest need.
Yeah. We'll see if Gary's right. And maybe they do attack defensive tackle.
That is another, I think it's a little bit, it's more in the tight end zone. Of could definitely use a little bit of an upgrade there.
Yeah, I wonder how much they value that position because some
they signed 17 defensive.
Yeah,
ends.
But they're all guys. They're not going to pay big money because if we remember, Christian Wilkins was available and it was look at him, and then he got a giant deal from the Raiders, and the Texans rightfully so weren't in on that. They had other moves to make. So some coaching staff, some organizations. The way they build teams, they value different things. The Eagles, now, their interior guys are cheap because they're young guys. Of course, they'll eventually have to pay because Jalen Carter turned out to be great. So they're going to have to pay him. But throwing resources at different positions, some don't value other positions like others do. The Texans have thrown in resources on the offensive line, high value ones, whether it be salary or draft picks, and it just has not worked out. We know they like a DB. They'll do that too. we will see if defensive tackle is just one of those spots where they just go get guys who can fill in, like the Tim Settles of the world, and they think that's just fine because they're going to value pass rushers on the outside. And that might be the way they want to build things. Although D'Amico's from San Francisco. They drafted interior guys high. And, of course, they drafted a guy on the outside high too in Bosa. So defensive line was a big focus there, has been here, but mostly on the outside. Okay, we'll go to break with that. If you want to call in, if you have thoughts on potential Texans draft picks or at least positions of need, you can call in to the show. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud when we come back. He lost a couple of his best friends. I didn't know these guys were his best friends, but apparently he was pretty close to them. We'll hear from him on that and what appears to be some newfound freedom he's got from Nick Caley, your new OC. So a lot to get to. We'll talk about the night that was in the NBA as well. Good night of basketball to get to as well. So a lot to get to. Oh, we still have that giveaway. I mentioned it yesterday. If you like a movie and $100 from Visa, we got something for you. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to CJ Stroud and his thoughts on Nick Caley a little bit later because Willie Pete wants to talk some NBA playoffs. We had two good games last night. Got word that Dame's going to play. And by got word, it didn't come directly to me. I just read something online. The Bucks didn't call me. Chris Haynes didn't filter it through me before he reported it. And Dame didn't let me know. But it's out there. Dame's ready for game two. He's a couple days removed from telling Halliburton he's going to beat his ass. Now he can do that on the court. Well, through basketball means. So we will talk about what happened in New York and also what happened in Denver last night. But first, let's hear from Willie P. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Doug. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. I can't complain. So, I really just want to talk. What I'm about to say is going to come back on Jalen Green. But what I want to say is, like, I watched the Detroit New York game start to finish last night, and what I noticed from the moment the ball was tipped is that Cade Cunningham was on a mission. He killed it in the first quarter. He asserted his dominance. He knew they needed that W. And they needed that dub, and he went and he got his man, and he put the team on his back. And he produced, what, 33 points on 50% shooting with 12 rebounds. I watched that game last night. What frustrates me, I'm like, I wouldn't classify Cade as a superstar yet. But, I mean, damn it, he's close, because that's what it looks like when you have a dude who can go get you a bucket. And I know people are like, well, we have Alfie who can go get you a bucket. But that's not the NBA we live in today. This ain't the 80s and the 90s where you're gonna live and die through the big man. And watching Cade do his work last night and help will his team, and when New York made a run, what they did, they get the ball to Cade, and he was straight to the cup. He wasn't messing around shooting no step back threes, no weak ass fadeaways. No, he got straight to the dirty work. And it just sucks because, you know, I have high hopes for Jalen Green, and then I see the performance. Well, what was he, 3 for 15 for 7 points? Come on, dude. In Cade's first playoff game, he was, what, 8 for 21 for 21 points. You know what I mean? Like, it just sucks, man. It just sucks because I don't think Jalen's that dude. And unfortunately, I don't want Kevin Durant, but I feel like if we get swept or if it's a gentleman's sweep, you know, they're gonna go do something stupid like get a KD because they see the need, what it looks like when you have a superstar. I mean, look at Clippers in Denver last night. When the Clippers needed a bucket, Kawhi went down there and did his work. He looked like 2019 Kawhi. So I really hope that for the sake of the Rockets' future, they win this series. I have high hopes for tomorrow night, but if they don't win it, I don't know where we're going to go from there. But anyways, love the show as always. You guys are amazing. Sean A. Mix, what it do, baby? Peace, fellas.
Thanks, Willie P. They're going to be forever linked. Not Sean and Willie P, but, well, maybe. But.
Probably not.
You never know, Mapesy. No, you never know, Mapesy. You never know. But Cade and Jalen will be linked, and Jalen leads into it. he dunked over Cade in their most recent matchup and yelled at him, got a technical foul. There's a rivalry there, but the player who has ascended has been Cade. He's the best player on that Detroit team. And to Willie P's point, he did have 21-12 in his first playoff game in their game one loss, had 6 turnovers, had a high turnover game yesterday as well with 5. But the 33 points, the 12 rebounds, Willie P said he was on a mission. Only 3 assists this time. Cade was about getting a shot this time. He believed his team needed him. And, you know, to be honest, the Pistons had a lead when he was being more of a distributor in game one. It's just that they blew it in that fourth quarter where they let the Knicks go on a 21-0 run. So Cade's, let's say, middling performance in game one had the Pistons in a position to win, and his great performance helped them win. Of course, they almost blew another lead, but they were able to hold off the Knicks and win that one. We'll get to the Nuggets Clippers because he mentioned Kawhi and how he played. But something came out of that Knicks game. Jalen Brunson, the tide has turned on him. A lot of the NBA world is like, oh, you are one of the biggest foul baiters of all time recent memory. He got Ausar Thompson to foul out. He did things that the NBA is supposed to be legislating out of the game with the I do a little pump fake, the defender kind of just goes straight up in the air beyond the arc, and I jump into him to get my 3 free throws. And before the series started, I think they asked Ausar Thompson about guarding Jalen Brunson because he was going to be that primary defender, and he talked about how he's good at, first of all, he said he's good at drawing fouls. Then he pulled back and goes, he's good at, did he say baiting specifically? But it went from a compliment to he's an unethical hooper pretty much. And when Jalen Brunson got him to pick up a 6th foul and then did 6, I was like, all right, buddy, all right. And because of the way he did it, like the leaping into a guy who's not even in your airspace.
Yeah.
You jumped into his landing space and the officials allowed it to happen. I saw multiple people going, this is Harden level stuff.
I mean, the one before that too, where Ausar Thompson just kind of like cuts him off again, completely legally. And then Jalen Brunson just kind of like trips over
and
himself.
Falls. Yeah. To sell it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, kind of loses the ball and they call a foul. It's just like,
yeah,
and I think whoever was on the – I think it was Grant Hill on the call was like, that was weird because they kind of waited until he started to lose the ball. Like, he already fell, and when he started to lose the ball, that's when they called the foul. It's like almost like when a guy goes up for a shot and they wait for it to miss before they call a foul. They basically did that with – well, we don't want him to foul bait and almost lose the basketball while he does it. If he just falls down and keeps the ball, that's fine.
He went from – can't believe the Mavs let him go. Nice story. Small player being that impactful. Never going to actually win the MVP, but people like that. Hey, maybe we should just at least mention him as a potential MVP candidate to what people are talking about now as, well, an unethical hooper.
I mean, like, this is kind of how he played since he got to New York.
It's really true. But like, but once you see it enough, it goes from, it goes from look how great his footwork is to –
yeah.
He's doing all this to draw fouls.
And last year in the first round, they played against the Sixers. And so it was a case of like, boom, look at that guy.
Yeah, you had Harden. No, Harden was a Clipper.
No.
You had Joel Embiid. I was going to say Joel Embiid and Harden, but you just had Joel Embiid. And he was at his absolute unethical best in that series too.
Yeah. And so it was like the target was on Embiid. Meanwhile, on the other side of the court, you have Jalen Brunson doing the thing where you're running and then you just stop and then fall down when the guy runs into your back a little bit because you just basically break-checked him, except on a basketball court.
Yeah. And we even had college basketball reporters talking about it. One guy was like, he was an ethical hooper at Villanova.
He used to be. Yeah.
Sad to see what happened to him. Well, the NBA game is different. He's got to be impactful, and drawing fouls is part of how his game works.
It's also against like Ausar Thompson. He's like, the only chance I have is to get this guy found.
Yes, I got to get this guy off me because he is torturing me. And Jalen Brunson had a nice night thanks to the free throw line. And, you know, he's also a very talented player. Tibbs didn't like it. Not the Jalen Brunson foul baiting. He didn't like the discrepancy in fouls being called and free throws being taken for for his team compared to the Pistons. Thought the Pistons got the benefit of the whistles. He said Jalen Brunson gets fouled all the time. That's him just defending this guy. But he and Cade, I think they were very similar in their fouls. It's just the rest of the guy, or free throws, but the rest of the guys made up the difference for, or gave the Pistons the difference between them and the Knicks.
Because no one gets to touch the ball on the Knicks except for Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson just dribbles it for 15 seconds every play.
It's true. The one guy coming out of it, maybe even worse than Jalen Brunson, and this is mostly from Knicks fans, is Mikal Bridges.
That guy stinks.
A lot of 5 first-round picks for this guy. Why are we giving up this many picks for this guy? He's catching it, and that's part of why we'll do it on Wednesday, playoff scapegoats. They all catch it. Some team always has one if they're down 0-2, hell, even if they're tied 1-1 and you're getting paid a lot of money or the team gave up a lot for you because you're the missing piece. That's the Mikal Bridges situation. What are you doing out there? We gave up that many picks for you, and this is how you're performing? Mm-hmm. Someone's going to catch it. And the Knicks, because they lost, multiple guys caught it.
Him and Tobias Harris should switch jerseys after the game. Or do a jersey swap after the game. Like, I know what it's like, brother.
But even I didn't cost 5 first-round picks.
Yeah, they got me for, like, 2.
Yeah.
Very funny that Tibbs points out the free-throw differential between the Knicks and the Pistons. As far as just fouls called, the Pistons were called for 24 fouls. The Knicks were called for 22.
Yeah, but Tibbs said, when were those fouls called?
Yeah, it's because Jalen Brunson falls down when he's dribbling. so he doesn't get to shoot free throws.
You legit fouled out their best on-ball defender. His primary defender. What are you complaining about again? And Jalen Brunson had his own foul issues. He had 5 as well. But he had 37. Got to the line 11 times. Tried to help the Knicks come back, but they lose 194. And then we had the other game where you had a hectic final, 20 seconds or so, where James Harden drives in for a wild layup, misses it. Like, and you, who was it on the, was it Van Gundy on the stand? As the analyst, he talked about, I don't like when they hold the ball. It just leads to a bad shot. And James, because he was limited in time, drove against the big who was protecting the rim and took a shot, missed it. Wild shot, wild rebound, led to a scramble. And the Nuggets didn't call a timeout. The coach who is a replacement for Mike Malone, I don't remember. Alderman, I think it might be his name.
Adelman. David Adelman.
If you say so. I know it's Adelman. I just don't know his first name at this point. He talked about how the Clippers foul up 3. So I didn't want to stop the clock and give them a chance to get set to eventually take that foul. He didn't get a good shot up. Jokic with the desperation shot. That wasn't close. So the Clippers get out of there with the win. Kawhi was great. You heard Willie P talk about it. We had a discussion before the playoffs about who did you not want the Rockets to see. And Kawhi, after watching him over the last 2 weeks when he actually played before the playoffs, I don't want to see that guy.
Yeah.
When he's healthy. And he has played at a level through 2 games where like, oh, this is the guy who led the Raptors to a title. And he was able to go get one in L.A. And for the first time in how long, the Clippers will have a home game in their own arena in the playoffs?
Oh, probably close to ever,
like
ever.
I'm sure
in LA
I'm sure they had playoff games at the LA Sports Arena, which was their home for a while, but of course we know until this year they played what's it called now
Crypto Dome.
No,
their previous
it was Staples and Crypto. Now they have their own place, so they've for the first time they have a home to their own, and it'll be a playoff game probably since the Staples opened in like 2000 or something. So since
But, like, the Clippers never made the playoffs.
I think they might have made the playoffs once in the 90s.
Maybe.
I don't remember which team, because why would I? But I think it did happen. But since then, the Chris Paul teams, of course, and then teams of later additions were all in Staples. But that'll change, and the Nuggets are tied at 1 going to L.A. So we had 2 good games, some narratives being built, and we'll have some games tonight to look forward to with Dame back against the Pacers. Memphis trying to avoid getting beat by 50 again. And the Lakers trying to avoid falling down 0-2 at home to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, could Nico Harrison be right about Luka? Probably not. But we'll hear from Nico when we come back. We'll get to that, and then we'll get to CJ. Nico Harrison had a quote that may take the place of Jaylen Brown's quote as the best quote of the playoffs so far. I kind of agree with him when I pick it apart and actually give it a little grace. But yeah, it ain't going to play well on social media, and it hasn't. And we'll talk about it when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haul away, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.